and welcome to Tokelore.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Kiki.
Get stoned with us as we discover what folklore is and where to find it.
And as we learn about ancient and contemporary cultures.
All while imbibing in local cannabis. We've come to the end of the road.
Yep, this is it. The last Revenant episode.
Wait, what? This is the last episode?
Don't worry.
A little bittersweet, but also very exciting.
Moving on to more folklore from more places.
I want to get into yokai.
I want to get into Sasquatch.
Will you guys get into brewing too?
Oh, we totally can.
On Tokelore.
Before we dive too far into this, we introduce ourselves in our basic intro, but we want to share with everyone. We have a special guest with us this evening, Allie McQueen, our logo designer.
Yes.
And has been a lovely sounding board through this process as we are trying to decide the avenues that we're taking and how we're developing things. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Allie, for your creative contribution.
Oh, absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
Yay! And thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how many of these have you listened to?
Let's see. I've listened to at least 1 through 6, and then I think 9, and part of 10, and then my cat went berserk in my house and distracted me, and I haven't finished 10 yet. So I know I've missed maybe, what, 3 or 4, I think?
Well, yeah, so you know somewhere in there. A good number of ones.
I do, yep.
Favorite Revenant. You have heard enough that you know you have context.
Yes. So I admittedly am horrible about remembering names of things.
Tell us the story.
I think I have a tie. Whatever Revenant was that you could distract it by spilling beans on a floor or like grains of rice.
Oh,
the
Strigoi?
Strigoi
was like any seeds or... 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was the Strigoi, because it was definitely an earlier one, and I was just enamored with the idea of this, like, very scary thing coming to chase you, and you're just like, whoop, you know?
Now
like,
you gotta count.
You gotta stop and count that now, Strigoi, peace.
So, funny story.
Yeah.
And there is a series of Dracula movies. Gerard Butler was Dracula in the first one.
Oh.
It's Dracula 2000.
Okay. I love Dracula 2000.
You must watch it.
I've never heard of it, but I love Phantom of the Opera, so I'm all about it.
We watched it on Halloween one year, and I was like, this is the best Halloween movie.
Okay, so Dracula's... there's that one, and there's actually a sequel to that one, which is... not as good.
Dracula 4000?
No. There's the Dracula 3000, but that one takes place in space.
Okay.
But the one between that, they've recovered Dracula's burnt body and they're like watching it and they've decided to spill all of these beads and everything around him. But then he escapes and they're like, haha, but he still has to count that stuff. And he's like, it's da da da. And he had already been counting it. And I'm like, okay, that could be
slick.
Yeah, and if they have like super counting skills,
so like, it's a little bit like a Rain Man, exactly. Yeah,
then you'd be screwed.
Yeah, he's like, I've been counting this my whole life, bitches. Yeah, I'm ready for this test.
Yeah,
Dracula 2000. All right, I'll have to check that out.
You have to.
Yeah, and then so that was my first one. Mm-hmm. I hope you have an equally charming movie to recommend to this one. But was the vampire that hopped on one leg?
Oh, the Jiangxi.
Jiangxi. Yeah,
just
yeah.
Vampire.
Yes.
Mr. Vampire.
Just watch those. Watch all of them. Watch
I think
any
it's like a
them.
Vampire thing. I never fancy myself a vampire person, but those are the two that have really stood out to me that keep coming back. Because I think the level of humor with it, you know.
I wasn't expecting to find such a delightful gem as this movie.
Yeah.
I was literally hanging out in San Francisco the last weekend of January with my sister and her. She was at school, so I was just hanging out. I'm like, oh, I'll do some research for our next episode. We'll be recording it as soon as I get back.
Yeah.
So I'm like searching for Jiangxi, and I'm just like, what? So YouTube, I do like finding like YouTube like video podcast vlogs and stuff. Monstrum is a really good one. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of really good resources from there.
Yep.
It's a PBS production on YouTube.
Okay. I've heard you guys reference Emily Zarka.
Yeah, Emily Zarka. Really good. Mm-hmm. I'd highly recommend you should check it out.
The couple times I've heard you guys start to discuss the podcast and start to geek out about references, like, I just sit back and I'm just like, yes, 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 yes. Like, it's so fun to hear you guys just be like, oh, yeah, did you read this? Did you hear that? Blah, blah, blah. Emily Zarka, blah, blah, blah.
Just a podcast review show.
No, it's really satisfying because I'm definitely not that level, but it's just, like, really inspiring to see these two very engaged people that are so passionate about what they're doing. And so. It's been really fun to listen to.
Jiangshi has definitely been my favorite Revenant. I'd say the original zombie is a close second.
Okay.
Mostly because I've really loved the challenge of being like, no, this is our second like real episode. Like we had an intro that kind of gave everyone the concept, but then this was our second Revenant to really sink our teeth into.
Yeah.
Like, zombies have such an interesting history. I thought it was really important that we did it the justice it really deserved.
Yeah.
Especially in light of the current like climate that we live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was learning a lot about understanding how to educate myself and not rely on the few people of diversity that I know to teach me. Like that's not their job.
It's not their job.
And when we did our first recording, we were just like, I don't feel good about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. Let's revisit this. Let's change our lens. Let's make sure we're taking the right approach.
Yeah. And take the time that you need to really.
No, it was a very freeing and exciting place to be and be like, oh, okay. I'm understanding things now.
Yeah.
And I know I'm trying my best to be a good ally in every sense that I can be to the people I care for and
really
the world around.
Putting in time and effort and everything.
Yeah.
I was just actually saying last night that, you know, we're just talking briefly about how the way that your process and your quality has just climbed in your first year. It's obviously a huge learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But even just like I was saying to her last night, is like from the first to the second episode. So, and now that you raise that, it's actually, I think, maybe one of my favorite episodes too was like the original zombie. And I was just saying from one to two, to me, there was like a huge jump. You know, and I know it's like it was just an offhand comment
learned
made
a lot
last night.
Very quickly.
Exactly, but I think the quality of the research also really showed in that too.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really fun challenge.
Yeah.
For me, because I was really passionate. I was very insistent about doing the Haitian zombie.
Yeah.
And because we had touched upon it in a folklore class in college, and I was just so fascinated with how beautiful voodoo truly is, and just kind of disgusted with how I grew up thinking it was kind of satanic and demonic and scary and bad, and that was taught to me by media and then reinforced by my family, who was also taught by media.
Right.
Yep. So it was really... really cool to get into that.
Yeah, really starting to see the truth of it.
Yeah.
Honestly,
the best you can from afar,
I'd say that also probably informs a lot of our decisions moving forward is how and why we want to take the shift to not just having a season that is dedicated to a sliver of the culture. Because we're finding there are some cultures that it's really difficult to find a proper, true representation. I mean, we really wanted to have a solid Native American indigenous representation here. And the closest we could get is Central America because there's not a whole lot out there that's reliable. And so we wanted to take the time and do our research proper and actually interview the Native people in our lives that are interested in sharing their stories.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of a neat progression on the whole process.
Totally.
So. And we don't expect people to smoke a joint with us every time, but you know, it's a perk.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want it, you want it.
I do want one of those cookies over there.
Oh, yeah?
The ones I'm
maybe
in the
hiding. Maybe two or three of them.
Yeah. The crunch break. I'm gonna eat part of my cookie then, too.
Oh, my goodness. Grub.
Have you ever actually dunked a dunker?
Nope.
Mm.
Never gets that far.
Yeah. Well, next time you have three.
Vietnamese coffee.
Yeah, have one of your coffees ready. Put your third cookie on it, and then, you know, by the time you get there.
Nice. Okay. I'm ready to move on to this next. Oh, no, you haven't shared yours.
Or did you?
Or was it the OG zombie?
I got finished chewing. My favorite Revenant would be... Goodness. Yeah, it was the OG zombie. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
That's what I was most excited to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed all of them. I'm just like, oh, and the Pontianak. That was a fun one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really liked writing that teaser. That was so fun and challenging. That was its own challenge.
Yeah. Because we didn't want to give a false representation of somebody, of a culture's voice when we aren't a part of that culture. Right. So we were doing our best to
find. My kitten has locked himself in the kitchen.
Oh, is that what that noise
That's
is?
That's what that is.
Oh, that's the universal. I'm
that
back.
That is totally your fault.
That's on you, bro.
100% your fault.
That's on you, Hades.
Our studio cat. He makes a frequent appearance.
No, he better. It's so handsome. You can hear it on film, or not film, whatever we're doing. Audio?
Mm-hmm.
On. Oh. Okay.
Yep.
So okay. I feel like I'm focused we're answering again, number two now that he's settled. Okay. With number one. Just saying.
What?
Favorite Revenant, favorite episode.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a, I was like,
I'd say my favorite Revenant is the Pontianak, and my favorite episode is the OG zombie. I think that would be how I'd quantify those. Yeah.
Mm.
Because we took this new format that we'd figured out and applied it to the very next thing that we tried after we discovered it.
Yeah.
I feel like it was still very fresh.
Yeah.
And I love the feminist vibe that I got from it. I mean, yeah, it's violent and horrific, but there was also just an interesting... sort of like, yeah.
She's very badass. Very badass lady. Ghost lady. Mm-hmm. Dude. Hades is obsessed with Allie. He's decided.
Oh, hi.
He wants to hang out with her.
Oh, he's sniffing my eyeball. Refresh my memory of the Pontianak.
Ah.
This was the Indonesian like ghost.
This is the woman like in the woman in white.
White.
The white.
Woman in white.
Yeah.
The long fingernails.
And banana trees.
So like kind of was that the one that inspired kind of the ring is the idea?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. The Hantu horror style.
Yeah.
With the wet long black hair and the white gown and
long
fingernails and usually big pointy teeth and a mouth full of like shark-like teeth.
Okay. Sharp chompers.
Yep. Really long nails.
What was your favorite? To mine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Although the ghost one was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. But you're a big fan of the Ghost Hunter
show.
Ghost
Hunter International. Yeah. I grew up kind of a lot obsessed.
Yeah.
With
not even obsessed, a lot obsessed.
You wouldn't have heard that one yet. It's not.
No, I haven't heard that one. I heard you guys talk about it the other day, but yeah. I haven't listened
it'll
to that
be
one.
It'll be the one right before this one.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, the one that just came out was Ganesha, so this one's coming.
Right.
Ganesha was really cool too, though, because I didn't know anything about Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some really cool sources for that and learned more about a part of the world that I really didn't know that much about.
Mm-hmm.
And learned a little bit more about a religion that I didn't know that much about either.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly kind of confuses me.
Yeah. Sure.
I think it's kind of a neat brain puzzle in some ways where it just forces you to go, okay, this is just so far outside of what I would normally jump to a conclusion-wise. Like, what about their life or how they live influences them in such a way that is how their creativity evolves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
I need to light up.
I just totally had a stoner moment and my train jumped the tracks. I don't know if you could tell there, but I just sort of drifted off in my thoughts and completely forgot what I was talking about.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun thing.
So we're there now.
Yeah. What was your favorite episode, Allie?
Now that you brought up the OG zombie, I just feel like that was it. Honestly. I don't know. I think the overlay of it also, I'm not saying that other stories aren't true, but the way there's very verifiable instances of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it expresses that idea that folklore actually is real life too, you know, and it's kind of like, it's like a gateway thing. I don't know. I'm not very articulate.
I'm just going to repost that one meme over and over and over again on our Instagram. That is the picture of Morpheus and he's like, what if I told you that folklore isn't everything and everywhere?
Yeah, do that after this episode or this recording. You should definitely post that.
Time for a toke break.
Toke break.
What was that bacon? That's a huge chunk of bacon. That one didn't get cut up.
Didn't really cut them. I just sort of put my knife in there and was like, I'm just gonna...
Awesome. Okay.
Totes and grits. I can't get over how good this is.
The soup is so good. The croutons.
That was an excellent recipe.
Yeah.
And what? The goat cheese is an excellent addition to the soup if you want to try some.
I want
to
try some.
Yeah, that sounds dank.
It's a nice light.
A little tart sour. Or like tangy.
Sour and creamy all at the same time. Yes.
Sour and creamy are two of my favorite things. I love sour.
Did you ever try, they're called toxic waste, like sour candies?
I think I can picture the wrapper.
I can't find them anywhere
anymore. Do they
have
like a skull on it or something?
Yeah, and it was in like a toxic waste plastic barrel thing.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking
about.
The
worst was the watermelon.
It was a 90s candy, obviously.
Early 2000s.
Okay.
I think early 2000s and 90s. Yeah. Because I can't find it anywhere.
I can picture it. I feel like there's some market for a new candy store that's really for adults that's all 90s and early 2000s candies, honestly.
We need this.
Yeah, like Ring Pops.
Why doesn't Eugene have this?
I don't know. Missed opportunity.
We need to tell investors. Be like, hey, investors, look out for this.
Get some toxic waste. Get some Ring Pops. Yeah, good.
Make this happen.
Yeah.
Like Pez, all the Pez dispensers.
Oh, I was
the
Pez the other day.
By the way, there's a whole way that you can reload a Pez, but you don't have to do one at a time.
Yeah, you can like load like a gun mag or what do you call it? Not magazine.
A magazine. Yeah.
Magazine. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Totally. My mind was blown.
I saw that on. I don't even remember that guy's name. He's on Instagram and he's like, "So here's something I wish I knew before my 30s."
Yeah. I know. It's probably the same thing I saw. It was on Instagram too.
I need one of these.
Oh,
gotta get started. She's a whole jar of them here.
Oh, I thought it was a cookie.
No.
You the cookies are here.
They're under the croutons and bacon.
Oh, God. Such abundance. Thank you. Yes, because that was like one, I guess, now that we're reflecting back on it, I think it probably hit me then too, but now that we're really reflecting on this, I think that's actually perfectly sums up how I feel about it.
Oh,
you know, it's just like that was that moment. It's like, oh man, it's everywhere. You know, it's walking the streets right now. You know, that's so
I mean, you're wearing folklore right now.
What does that even mean?
Because
I'm wearing a cat.
Who's wearing it?
It's because a bun, isn't it?
No, it's a cat. It's a frowny cat. And
it's a cat loaf.
It's a cat loaf. And it could probably be a cat bun. I've never looked at it that way, but I like that perspective.
It's shaped like a...
It's like a little bow.
Like a little bow.
It's like a cat bow.
Yeah.
But why am I wearing it? Because I'm definitely a cat lady, and I like weird graphics.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's folklore.
God.
That's your folklore. You like weird graphics.
Yes.
And then you collect them.
So that's my personal folklore?
Yeah.
I like that.
And it's not just... That's not the only folklore.
No, but that's like one thing that I embrace.
I feel like it inherently helps people to embrace and value other cultures and different thinking than your own rather than fear it, which is why I keep... This is why when we first started out, I'm like, no, guys, really, this could save our lives.
Yeah.
Like, this is the answer to
world
everything.
Peace.
Yes.
I know that sounds dramatic.
The seed of world peace getting planted right here.
There's roots there. It's verifiable. You can see it goes on for centuries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've turned it into a philosophy of life.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Toklore is philosophy. It's my life philosophy.
No light thing, toklore or folklore.
Look at this. Your questions are so good. They're just leading into what we're actually talking
about.
I'm
the natural progression.
I'm a talented interviewer. Yeah. I'm very good at
how do we evolve and how did
NBD
we learn?
Guys.
Right?
Yeah.
I think our folklore really heavily influences how or if we evolve.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
If you don't take the time to understand folklore, then you get real limited in your ability to experience life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if they could even just get a taste of any of these stories, you know, and really just sit and listen and let it happen, I think they could really open up and learn a lot.
Yeah, I think we've already talked about how we've learned how to open up to other perspectives, and certainly marijuana helps. But also doing our research helps. And mm-hmm. I feel like mm-hmm. as we continue to keep making episodes and doing more research, I feel like I should, I feel like there's still room for improvement and due diligence yeah. in mm-hmm. my research. Mm-hmm. I really want to pull more from primary sources that are around us, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's challenging to
yeah.
get
yeah.
that to line up and yeah. schedules.
I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we also don't live in the most diverse of communities either.
We really don't.
So we're a smaller city comparatively, and it's very, yes. very Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is definitely diversity here, but it is
so growing.
There's also more kinds of diversity that we would benefit from that don't exist here currently.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would be nice to make space for that to be able to coexist.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. So, mm-hmm.
right on.
Mm-hmm.
Where should we go from here?
Where do you think we should go from here, Allie?
Yeah, where should we go? Or you guys go, but I was thinking we could go.
You could go with us.
To Sizzle Pie and get pizza dessert. No. where should you go from here? I love the idea of... Okay, let me back up. I love that you guys have had such a broad net that you've cast across the world and done all these stories from different cultures and stuff. But I personally am really excited by the idea of what folklore exists within the bounds of what is now known as the United States, because I think that a lot of mm-hmm. our citizens in this country, once again, as we were touching on earlier, just like don't understand that there is so much folklore in the land that they mm-hmm. occupy. And I would love to see more about understanding that there's been a culture here for so much longer than we colonialized it, you know, mm-hmm. and what does that look like and what are the roots that maybe we're not genetically tied to, but physically we are tied to. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see you guys do, I guess, more regional specific stuff, which I imagine is actually harder to research.
But there are some very talented authors and researchers yeah. that have already published wonderful books.
Yeah.
That are very specific to places.
Yeah.
Just gotta
get connected.
Just gotta get connected to
It's always networking, right?
Yep.
Just gotta network. Yeah. So that's where I would like to see you guys go. I'm curious where you guys would like to go from here.
We definitely have to plan a lot further in advance to be able to schedule time that yes. people have available to yeah. make us get, like that would be, you know, in a perfect world, we're 1 year ahead of schedule and we waited a whole year before we did all this.
Well,
but
we haven't existed for a year yet. That's impossible.
Exactly. This is true. I mean, mm-hmm. technically, this whole thing started right about this time last
yeah.
year. I think it was late February, maybe.
We were sitting around the fire pit outside. We yeah. also were randonauting, yeah. and I introduced Sarah to randonauting.
I don't even know what that is, but I love it already.
Uh-huh. It's really
Continue.
Bizarre.
It's this app that generates a random coordinate
uh-huh.
within, like, a five-mile radius that you can walk to that's supposed to be serendipitous in some way, and mm-hmm. it's some sort of quantum physics way to prove how your mind manifests reality or affects reality.
Yeah.
It's, yep.
Hey, I like reasons to walk, so on that level, I'm already interested.
It's
that
pretty
too.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's a little esoteric at times. I'm just like, I don't understand how to get it to give me a point yeah. in
just
the next two, like, mile
Just think
radius.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Just think really
Sometimes
hard.
I just have too narrow of a scope, and they don't want to work within yeah. a very small... So they really want you to, like, select an area on a map that is, like, a five-mile radius.
Okay.
So that there is a considerable amount of distance that you'd need to travel in
sure.
order to, like... So there's that, like,
yeah.
you know...
Yeah.
And sometimes they want you to go into somebody's backyard. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Unless
no.
you ask for permission.
Yeah.
Right. Or it's your backyard.
We ended up on the hill, on College Hill, by
yeah.
the water reserve up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it led us into this point that kind of was part of the edge of that property, but also somebody's backyard, or like where two different properties also connected. So it's like, how do we get there without trespassing?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's trespassing,
kids.
We're
going to not.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, well, serendipity there was, I guess we just need to keep walking.
Well, serendipity adjacent, really, in that, that experience. So.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into the more pedestrian things.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you don't really... notice or even think about a whole lot.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, like your shirt.
Mm-hmm. I don't even quite grasp how that's my folklore, but I one is Cimarron, and I'm excited for my mind to get blown later. Like, I'll be laying in bed in, like, 5 hours, 6 hours from now, whatever time it is, if that's early or late, and all of a sudden I think I'll be like, I get it, you know? And I'm really excited by that, and just try to understand what you mean by more pedestrian in my sweatshirt. So, anyway.
It is a level stoked. Of minutia that you're not used to applying folklore to.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still very much in the broad global scope of what folklore is.
I also want to get more into folk tales, like old folk tales. Mm-hmm. I went to a symposium at the U of O, and I'm so sorry I can't remember her name, but I will try and find that out and mm-hmm. give a shout out to her. And she talked about folklore and old folk tales, and she had a story about a porcupine creature and mm-hmm. a princess, and how this princess rejected him, so he, like, shot her with all of his spines, and it's like, he's like, well, this is, like, a form of rape. And I'm like, okay.
And
wow. Yeah, just yeah. laid it out there. And yeah. how, like, Red Riding Hood, there's some pedophilia that happened in there that gets kind of glossed over.
I've never heard any of this, but curious.
Or like the story of Bluebeard. Have you ever heard of Bluebeard?
I've heard the name, but I don't know the story.
You're familiar with Scheherazade though, right?
No.
1001 Arabian Nights.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Isn't it 1001?
I have no idea.
Like yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's
It's all connected to Scheherazade.
Okay.
Yeah, or whatever, but...
He's a creep.
Excited. He is a creep. But like,
not surprising with a name like Bluebeard.
I also have an English degree, and so I love taking stories apart and giving you a whole different spin on it that you're like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, how about any bromance movie is actually queer? Like, they're actually, they're so attached to each other, and maybe they don't realize they're romantically attached to each other, but they try to parallel their lives so that they stay together.
They try to sync up. Yeah.
That's interesting. A romance.
That is a romance, and there's different levels and nuance to romance, you know?
Oh, folklore, folklore.
Nice.
So I'm excited to blow people's minds, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I actually, Elena did that. Did I mention that in one of her episodes? Othello?
She gave you a complete... Yeah!
So she had this theory that she posited in one of her Shakespeare classes, and I love it, and I think that it's a really beautiful way of being able to actually reevaluate the actions in the play Othello. I mean, granted, the time period it's written in, it's likely pretty obvious, like...
I'm pretty sure Shakespeare was.
Yeah, the sensationalism of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that Iago is actually in love with Othello.
Hmm.
And he is not dealing with it well.
Yeah.
And so it gives you a lot more empathy for a character who has given his life to someone, an idea or a person, and wants to have that like romantic involvement verified, but can't because he's marrying this other woman. And so it tears him up and he just becomes self-destructive and then eventually like, It goes downhill bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's easier if you start trying to apply a lens from today's life and way we're trying to make a point of being candid about looking at the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is a much more compelling story about human interaction than just like your classic good and evil.
Yeah.
You know, with no complexities. He's just bad. He's just a victim. Right. Mm-hmm. He's just, you know, it's like, no.
Ooh.
No, everybody's
Ooh,
gray zone.
Just getting into the different types of villains that are represented in different literary genres. Like, you have the foil. Or how would you classify, because I think Joker and Moriarty are, like, the same villain.
Oh, between Sherlock and Batman.
Oh yeah.
How so? Like, what are the alignments that?
Well, they have dubious origins.
Okay.
Not really sure why they're so fucking evil. They're just evil because they enjoy it.
Yeah.
And they're equally diabolical to how their hero is very what's the word I'm looking for?
Fixated
on justice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Batman is obsessed with justice.
Right.
So they're always opposites of
the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
One is more chaos, where one is looking to sort of force an order that was unable to be enforced because of how the system's built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vigilantes.
Yeah. Oh. And then you have the villains that you kind of root for.
Absolutely. It's like a Walter White or something. I don't know. I don't know if other people rooted for him, but I still always had a place for him in my heart.
Cool. Well, yay. Okay, so we're taking a brief hiatus and upcoming episodes.
Yeah, so...
We already talked about a little bit.
We did.
We kind of hinted at some.
Just a little bit. We've talked about doing, like, little mini-series, but the next episodes happen to be on 420, and then literally the one after that...
May the 4th.
And it was perfect timing, so we will be definitely taking advantage of that.
Mm. So, there are two episodes coming after this. They are not Revenant-themed because they are really sort of a lead-in to where we want to go with exploring folklore and everything. So,
I'll be tuning in.
We're going to take some time to get our ducks in a row and...
Interviews scheduled.
Yes, and start recording and getting... episodes cached so that
we're ready to roll some more out. Yeah. So keep an eye out for updates for when that will happen, but the goal will be likely at the very latest the same time in October next year that we started this year. So the first weekend of October, I believe. First Wednesday of October.
Mm. Yeah.
Possibly sooner, but we don't want to rush it.
Yeah. We'll let you know.
Yeah. But thanks so much for your support.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram and all the things.
Please reach out if there's stuff you want to challenge us to find folklore in. Yes. Send it our way.
Mm-hmm.
These ladies like a challenge.
Yes, we do.
It's always fun.
Like a challenge.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
And that's a wrap.
And that's a wrap.
Sweet.